He is so good. Let's turn over to Romans 8. That's been our text. Let's put our eyes on that passage. We'll go through a few more and then get into what we need to get into today. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Are we all sons and daughters of God? Yes. So we are led by the Spirit of God. I've read this to you prior. But it says that word translated led is since the word translate, or this is a note on it. Since the word translated led is a present participle in the Greek, it may be translated, quote, "as many as are continually being led by the Spirit of God," unquote. So we are continually being led. He is continually talking to us about our life. He doesn't just check out for a while. Say, well, God's not saying anything. No, He is instructing us. Sometimes we're looking for instruction when He's not telling us anything about a certain subject. In other words, He's already told us what to do, and that's all He's going to talk to us about that subject. And we're going back to Him and asking Him again. You with kids, have your children ever done that to you? You told them what to do? But they're coming back? They want you to change what you said. No, kids are the same everywhere, right? They can come back. They have to be trained. But you tell them to do something. Well, why do I have to do that? Why should I do it like that? And they may come back later and ask you another question about it, right? You told them what they're supposed to do. And they want to hear something different. And you could just be like, "I told you what to do. Now don't talk to me about it anymore." And they could come and they could go upstairs and they could be calling down to you and you don't say anything to them. Are you being mean? You told them what to do. Don't know why I'm getting into this, but sometimes people are like, "Well, God's not speaking to me." Maybe He already told you what to do and you want Him to say something different. And He's not going to say, He's infinitely more patient than any parent you've ever seen. He'll let you die. I'm serious. If you think you're going to get Him to change His mind, if He tells you to do something, and you think you're going to outweigh Him, it's a bad decision. Your body will wear out before He changes His mind, because He's perfect. He told you the first time, He was right. You're not going to convince Him. You're not going to come up with some idea that He overlooked. Seriously. Well, yeah, you're right on that. Here, have it your way. Now, I'm not saying that if you badger Him and do it, it's just like the Israelites with the king. Okay, have a king. See how that turns out for you. I don't want to live like that. I want His best. Some people are, seriously, "God's not speaking to me about this." What did He tell you? When you get in unrest about a situation, and you don't, it's foggy and you don't know what to do, go back to the last time you had peace. When was the last time you had peace about it? And pick it up there and see if you maybe didn't move in a wrong direction or something. This will really show up some things. Because we can be going right on and then all of a sudden everything just gets like in a mess. It's foggy. You're like, "What? I don't know." Now you have to discern. Is the enemy trying to mess You know, there, opposition is one thing. Confusion is another. You can know what you're going to do. The devil can't tell, he cannot mess with you. If God's told you to do something, he can try to stop you. But if you know what you're supposed to do, there's no way he can stop you. And we need to know that and say, no, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing it. Now get out of the way. He might pop up his ugly head, but he's got to go. He cannot stop you. So if you think, well, the devil's just harassing me, the devil's just... No, you better know what God has told you to do and keep going. He can't stop you. And to say that, well, I'm doing what God told me to do, and the devil's just knocking me all over the place, that's saying the devil's bigger than God. The way of the righteous is blessed. So if you're going to walk with him, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have opposition, but you're going to overcome it. To say, well, I'm just getting hit so hard because I'm doing the will of God, that's not true. I know that's a religious thing, even in our circles. People, well, I'm just, you know, the devil's just on my case. That's saying that to do God's will is a curse. Boy, it's quiet in here. I know this flies in the face, but think about it. I'm going to go do God's will, and things are going to go bad for me. What is that saying? You're cursed if you do God's will. That's not true. We're blessed. If I go and do what God told me to do, that's the best place and best thing I could possibly do. So I expect blessing. The devil has hoodwinked us. Get you to think, seriously, in our circles, word and faith circles, people say, oh man, the devil's just on my case, and boy, we're stepping out for God, and boy, really. I know this flies, I mean, a lot of people, devil's got them hoodwinked. A lot of us have bought this for a long time. Well, you're equating, I step out for God, you better watch it, my life is going to get really hard because the devil's going to make sure. Right? That doesn't line up with the Bible. The Bible says, you step out for him, you're blessed if you do what he told you to do. It's not good for you if you rebel and go the opposite way, then it's going to be difficult. Then you're setting yourself up for something to go wrong. Opposition is not the same as curse. Like all these things are going to start going wrong because I'm stepping out to obey God. No, the devil may pop up and you say, get out of my way, you're going down. That's different than, man, I'm just getting hit left and right. See, the one is like, I can't control it. The devil is just can at will knock me around. The other one is, you want to fight? Bring it. Because I'm going there because God told me to go there. It's two different things. And so many times, Christians are like, well, I'm obeying God. But listen, how many people say, well, I wouldn't go to Africa? I hope God never calls me to Africa because I don't... Well, what goes with that? Well, I don't want to do what... If I do what God calls me to do, it's bad. I never want to give my life over to God. He might call me to China or something. People have said that for years. I mean, stuff like that. You ever heard something like that? Well, if I just surrender to him, he might just call me to Timbuktu, and I don't want to do that. What's that implying? That serving God is bad. If you're in the center of God's will, it might just get really hard for you. Really. Boy, we're going this morning, huh? No. That's a lie. Who would dream that up? Who would push that idea? If you serve God, it's going to get really rough. Who does that sound like? God? Go my way, and it's going to be really bad for you. No. The devil is trying to get people to believe that they're cursed if they obey God. None of this is in my notes. That's a lie. I said it's a lie. What did we read in Psalm 84 when you're taking the offering? It's better to be a doorman in the kingdom of God than to have everything in the week. No, it is far better. And on one side of the mouth, sometimes we're saying, well, we believe in blessing, but boy, if I'm serving God, it's just so hard, and it's hard, and the devil's doing this, and the devil... We're pronouncing a curse over our life. We're saying the devil is lording it over me, and I can't do anything about it, because after all, I'm serving God. Poor old God didn't know that if I stepped out to follow him, the devil's just going to have both sights on me, and I'm just going to get pummeled. It's a lie. I said it's a lie. We need to change that around and know what God told us to do and then step out and say, this is what we're doing, and this is what the Word says, and we're going to be more blessed than we ever have because we're obeying God and there is abundance in His presence. My kids are going to be more blessed. My marriage is going to be better. We're going to have more than we ever had in every area because we're following Him. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy. I can't just leave you with that. Deuteronomy 28. I totally is going to, you know, we'll get back into what I'm going to get into, I think. I don't want you to take my word for it. I just said a bunch of stuff. I got to give you some scripture. Look at Deuteronomy 28. Praise God. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Praise God. Hold on a minute. All right. You got your finger in Deuteronomy 28? Keep your finger there and go to Galatians 3:13. Deuteronomy 3:13. Everybody there? That's why we need a Bible. It says just a scripture sheet. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 13, Christ has, what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Look back at verse 8. It says, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all... Notice that. Notice the first part. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the what? The gospel to Abraham. There's one gospel, but He preached it to Abraham. The Savior's coming. He preached it to Abraham. He would say, would justify the Gentiles by faith. This is before the law. This is before any of that was put into place. He preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Verse 9, so then those who are of faith are what? Blessed with believing Abraham. What? You're what? Let me hear it again. Blessed. Not cursed. Not cursed. Blessed. Now look at verse 13 again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we're blessed. Now go back over to Deuteronomy, what he's talking about, the curse of the law. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right. Praise God. Verse 28, or chapter 28, verse 1, said, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." Now what? If you're going to diligently obey the Lord, that He's going to set you high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2, "And all these blessings shall overtake you," or shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Obedience equals blessing. You do what God tells you to do, you're blessed. Verse 3, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks." We could say, verse 3, "Blessed shall you be in the city and in the country." You're blessed everywhere you go. And verse 4, they're talking about cattle and crops. You could say your business is blessed. Your finances are blessed. Your investments are blessed. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a curse. That doesn't sound like things going wrong. Verse 5, "Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you the one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand." I love that. Everything you set your hand to will prosper. That sound like curse? Everything's going bad. No. Blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed, blessed. "And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you." Verse 11, "And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain," or "to give to the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." So if you serve God, you're blessed. Now, there is blessing in what Jesus has done for it. The Ephesians says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You're blessed, but that's one thing, but that's not everything. If you decide, you may be blessed because of what Jesus did, and you decide to go 90 degrees from what God told you to do and rebel, it's not going to be the same as if you obey. There is blessing to obedience. He has this plan for you, and you say, "God, I know you're telling me to do that, but I'm going to do this. If you're not listening to God, who are you listening to? That's where the curse is. And even for a Christian, born again, blood-bought, sanctified, you're going to listen to the enemy and expect everything to go great? What? No. It's like he's got this thing trapped for you over here, and God's telling you to do this, and you say, nope, I'm going to go over here. And who's telling you to do that? Who would tell you to rebel against God? Tell me who rebelled against God and got thrown out of heaven. The devil. So if you're rebelling against him and saying, I'm going to go over here, and you think you're going to smooth, everything's going to go great, not so. That's a lie. The devil would love us to believe that. No, we need to listen to God and say, God, you want me to do that? I'm there. I'm going to do that. Now, we decide we're going to obey God. Does it look like it's just curses from there? You obey God, it is blessing. It's blessing. It's blessing. We expect things to go well. See, it didn't say, notice it said in verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you. They may rise, but look at the next part. To be defeated before your face. They shall come out you against one way. They'll flee before you seven ways. So they may pop up. They're not going to last long. Because you have God on your side, and you are on a mission from God, and you're blessed. Period. You're blessed. You're going to go against me? Fine. Not cocky. Not in your own strength. But you want to come against me? You see who's standing behind me? You want to mess with him? Go for it. Right? We don't get arrogant, cocky, but bold in our God. David, he came out. He didn't go, well, Goliath, I don't know. He said, I'm taking your head off, buddy. Why? Because he said, you are talking against God Almighty, you uncircumcised Philistine. No covenant, nobody. You're going down. Right? Blessed. Not, well, I'm going. What if David would have gone, well, I'm going out against Goliath. I believe is what God wants me to do, but never know. Might trip and fall or something because, you know, I'm obeying God. 80 other people might come out and get me. I never know if I'm going to work, you know. You step out to obey God and you never know what's going to happen. So I don't know if this is going to work or not, but I'm doing my best. I'm going to go obey God. Pray for me. Now, which one sounds more like a lot of Christians you talk to? Huh? The first one? I'm taking your head off, buddy. There ain't no way I'm going down. You're going down. Or... don't know. You know, it's rough when you obey God. Huh? Is this too close to home or what? We've been hoodwinked. And I'm saying us. Our circles have been hoodwinked. We got it somewhere at God in there where you equivalent or making it equivalent that you obey God, you better get ready for some rough sailing because the devil's going to do it. Now, he's going to fight you, don't make any mistake about that, but he can't overcome you. And he can't make your life just confusing and in the dark. That's only if we yield to him. That's good. That's only if we're going, well, I just don't know if it's going to work. I don't know. That's yielding to him. But if we stand there and go, work, we heard from God. We heard from him. We're going ahead. He wants to raise his head. I knew he would raise his head. That's what he does. That's what his line of business is. He's going down because I know we've heard from God. God's on our side. We're blessed. That's it. I'm not talking any defeat. He comes and whispers in your ear, yeah, shut up. We're going ahead. You're not getting me off. Difference. If you expect, well, see, this popped up. I knew it. Step out and obey God, and there you go. Everything goes down, and then you start yielding to that. Now, this, don't tell me. If you start talking like this, step out, we believe we're following God, and then look at all this stuff that happened. What's that? Who are we yielding to when we say stuff like that? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But that may sound familiar. Where's God? What's God doing? What? I mean, we tried, we're doing our best, and I'm doing my best. I'm trying to hear God. What is that? That's nothing but just yielding to the enemy. Putting it off on, what is that? When I'm trying my hardest. I'm trying to hear God, but what?
But what? God isn't speaking to me? It kind of sounds like we're pushing it off on him. Where would that come from? The devil? No, God's not the problem. He's trying to get us divided and say, God, you thought you heard God, or you thought, and you step out and curse. And here you go, you got what you deserved, and God probably didn't tell you, and you probably let you miss it, and curse, curse, curse. What is that? It's a lie. It's a lie. We need to call his bluff, because we're blessed. Keep reading. Verse 15 says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Here's where it gets rough. Notice this is the second part of the chapter. To observe carefully in all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. Now stop right here. Which one sounds more like the way people think when they step out to obey God it's going to be? This or what we read previously? Be honest. Yes. It's this. Well, I don't know. All hell's breaking loose because we're out serving God, right? Right? It's a lie. We're reading it. This is what happens when you don't obey God. Not when you obey God. We read about when we obey God. Blessed, 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 blessed. Blessed here, blessed there, blessed everywhere. But you don't. You're going to be stubborn. You're going to bite your lip and say, no, I'm not doing that. Okay, get ready for a rough road. Right? But not when you're obeying him. No. Not the same. We've been lied to. 20. The Lord will send on you cursing. Listen to this. Confusion. And rebuke. In all that you sent your hand to. Until you are Does this sound like people think everything went wrong when I obeyed God. This is a curse. This is for not obeying him. It's completely backwards. We've been sold a bill of goods and it's a lie. Hallelujah. Selah. Stop and think. I think we're uncovering some stuff this morning. Until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The devil's told us that if we serve him, we're going to get the same result as somebody that is running away from God and being evil and forsaking him. How backwards. And then the people that are living for, you know, not living for God, well, look at how rich they are. Look what all they're doing. Backwards. Yeah, I'm not saying they won't have money. There's another place in the Word. It says, don't fret when you see that happening because their end is destruction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's go over to Numbers real quick. You got a couple more minutes? Numbers 22. Numbers 22, verse 1. Glory to God. Everybody there? Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed. He whom you curse is cursed. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back the word, or bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" So Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, 'Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Now, come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out.'" And God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you." And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me. For I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me." Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight, that I may know what more the Lord will say to me." He's already told him. The Lord's already told him. This is kind of like what we were talking about earlier. God has already told him, in no uncertain terms, what to do. And he's going back. And God, verse 20, "And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, 'If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do.'" Notice that. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. Notice that. You say, "Well, I thought he told him to go." No, he didn't. He said, "If they come and get you, go." Verse 20, "And God came to Balaam at night and said, 'If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, you shall do.'" Then it says, "So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab." So he went. Verse 22, "Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in the hand." So then he's standing in the way with the donkey there. And I don't know if you know that story. The donkey stands in the way and he talks and all that. Let's skip down to verse 23. "Then Balaam said to Balak, 'Build 7 altars for me here and prepare for me 7 bulls and 7 rams.' And Balak did just as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, 'Stand by your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you.' So he went to a desolate height. And God met Balaam, and he said to him, 'I have prepared the 7 altars, and have offered on each altar a bull and a ram.' Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, 'Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak.'" Verse 6, "So he returned to him, and there he was, standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his oracle and said, 'Balak the king of Moab has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There, a people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number one-fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. Then Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully. So he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth? So he tries again. Then Balak said to him, please come with me to another place from which you may see them. So he's saying, well, you couldn't do it from there. Let's go somewhere else and see if it works over here. You shall see the outer part of them and shall not see them all. Curse them for me from there. Why is he going with the guy? God already told him. So he brought him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built seven altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And he said to Balak, stand here by your burnt offering while I meet the Lord over there. Then the Lord met Balaam, put a word in his mouth and said, go back to Balak and thus you shall speak. So he came to him and there he was, standing by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab were with him. And Balak said to him, what has the Lord spoken? Then he took up his oracle and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he... Now, this we've heard that quoted. This is the context that is saying, where it's being said. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord, his God, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. He says, there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. Look, a people rises like a lioness and lifts up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. And then he says it again. You didn't curse him at all. You blessed him. And so they try it again. And he goes through the same thing again. Skip down to verse 3. It says, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of a man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. Now listen to this. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. He shall pour water from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag. His kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations of his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. He bows down. He lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall rouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. Then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies. And look, you have bountifully blessed them these three times. Now therefore flee to your place. I said I would greatly honor you, but in fact the Lord has kept you back from honor. Lie. So Balak said to Balak, Balaam said to Balak, did I not also speak to your messengers whom you sent, saying, if Balak were to give me his house full of gold, silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says, I must speak. And then he goes and he blesses him a fourth time. What's the point? What God has blessed you cannot curse. He tried over and over. Turn one more time. Turn to Proverbs 26:2. We'll close with this. Read this scripture, though. Proverbs 26:2. We are blessed of the Lord. The enemy can try to call you cursed. He can say, no, but you're cursed. But look at this. But look at this. See, that proves you're cursed. And our response ought to be, I'm blessed. God blessed me. He said, I'm blessed. I'm going to stay right in the center of His will. And there's no way I'm going to be cursed. Proverbs 26, verse 2. It says, like a flitting... Everybody there? Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. That means the devil can huff and puff and say he's going to blow your house down. But if you're on God's side and you're doing what you know to do, he has no case. He can call you cursed and say, well, you're going to be cursed. This is going to happen. If you do that and step out, it's going to go bad for you. And you can look at him and say, the curse causeless will not alight. I'm doing what God told me to do. You can't stop it. I'm blessed. God has blessed me, and I will remain blessed. No matter what. Amen. Amen. We're blessed. Hallelujah. We're not cursed. When we're doing His will, we're blessed. Or His will, we're blessed. Anywhere we tread our feet, we're blessed. If we're there, we're blessed. We're blessed coming in and going out. Hallelujah. Not cursed. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.